Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
LA, appreciate you guys tuning in. Look at that, little Rage Against the Machine to get the show started. I like it. I like it. This is a good day for LA. I'll tell you why. I'll make sure I preface all this stuff. Obviously, I'm talking from a sports perspective, and we know what's going on around the world, so we always got respect to what's going on there. Big news for Dodger fans out there. So the Dodgers TV blackout finally ends. Spectrum has a deal with Sportsnet LA and the AT&T platform. So everyone now gets to watch Dodger games whenever that comes up again. We'll just kind of have to obviously wait and see how things play out. But that's big news. Ireland was just mentioning it. If we were in the middle of the season right now and you were a week into the season, this is what we'd be talking about, he said, for an hour, 2 hours, whatever the case is. But I wanted to talk about it, and I wanted to start off the show with this because 7 year stalemate, large percentage of Dodger fans were without Dodgers baseball. And I know, like Mason mentioned, if you really wanted Dodgers baseball, you could have changed from DirecTV to Spectrum. There was ways that you could have done it. First of all, this is just my own personal opinion. I always kind of try and tie things to the Los Angeles Lakers, and I tie them because that's the sports entity that I'm most passionate about. That's the franchise that, since I was a kid, I watched like crazy. And I know there's the same thing with Dodger fans here in L.A. Every time you go out to Dodger Stadium, think about the lead up to this year with the addition of Mookie Betts and David Price and the opportunity to win a World Series and the Houston Astros get caught in 2017, cheating certainly that season that could have and definitely had an effect on whether the Dodgers should have won a World Series or not. So there's a lot of storylines around the Dodgers, and I know how passionate Dodger fans are about their team here. So number one, I feel bad that Dodger fans had to wait this long to be able to just get home after a hard day at work, flip on the TV, and watch a game. Now, moving forward, they're going to get that option. They're going to get that opportunity. But as I compare things, because I'm always kind of trying to compare things with the Los Angeles Lakers, this is a question I want to propose to anybody that's out in their car right now or they're listening on the app. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Do you think this would ever fly for the Los Angeles Lakers, right? Like, think about how long the Dodgers weren't on every TV set around Southern California. Imagine if we flipped scripts there and it was the Los Angeles Lakers. What would LA do, or what would Laker fans do, if just for 1 year, not every household was getting Lakers basketball when they got home? You know, obviously, we air all the games from a radio perspective, so it's great to be a part of that broadcast. John and MT do the games. I'm doing pre and post. I love every second of it, so it's not like I'm going home every day and putting the TV on. But I've got I feel a very, very good pulse for Los Angeles Lakers and for Lakers basketball. With that in mind, this would not fly with Los Angeles Laker fans. It wouldn't. And I don't really have an answer for you. You know, like I can't put myself in the shoes of a die-hard Dodger fan that for 7 years may have been in one of those predicaments or situations where they didn't get Dodger games every night. They didn't get a chance to come home. By the way, what Dodgers? 6 NL West championships in a row. Think about all the success that they've had. I know they haven't won a World Series, but they've made World Series appearances. They've had chances to win World Series. Clayton Kershaw, arguably the best pitcher in baseball for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, however long you want to talk about it. You heard, actually, Mason's a perfect example on this too. Mace was saying that he got a chance to be at the final game Vin Scully called, right? How about just the final years of Vin Scully? And if you're a big-time Dodger fan, you didn't get a chance to be a part of that. For me, when I make that comparison to the Los Angeles Lakers, I tell you what, impossible that LA would have been okay with no Laker games on. Impossible. You know, I put the question up on Twitter, and I want to get, you know, people's reaction and so forth. And some people say, yeah, but you know what? Lakers, when they first got their deal with Spectrum Sportsnet, it was blacked out for a couple games, and then it happened. Well, we're talking a couple games. We're not talking seven seasons. We're not talking 7 years. We're not talking 1 year, 2 year, three, four. I mean, 7 years of Dodgers baseball, and this has really been one of the more incredible runs that the Dodgers have had. Again, I'll go back to it. I know they haven't won a World Series, but you got to respect what the Dodgers have done. You got to respect what the organization has done. All you can do year in and year out is give yourself a chance to compete. And that's exactly what the Dodgers have done. Every year for the last 5, 6 years or so, they've given themselves an opportunity to win a World Series. And I know for the Lakers, when I kind of look back at the time frame of the Lakers and look back at what's happened over the 6, 7 years with the Los Angeles Lakers, I don't think there's any way, any stretch of the imagination. If you said 30 games were going to be missed in L.A., I think people would be picketing outside Staples Center and saying, I want those games on TV. I feel like the Lakers, it's a different animal. And maybe it's a little bit harder for me to understand, because when I say I feel like the Lakers is a different animal, I see how loyal Dodger fans are to LA, and there is no like competition between the two franchises. No, I think they both actually support each other in an incredible way. A great example of that, go to a Dodger game when somebody's throwing out first pitch, right? And it's Chris Paul when he was with the Clippers, or it was Kawhi, or I think it was Paul George. I think it was Paul George. Whether he threw out first pitch or not, he was at a Dodger game. Go to Dodger games when anti-Lakers are doing something with the fan base. What does the entire fan base do? The entire fan base will boo whatever player that is, if they're on the Clippers or whatever the case is. And I think that's because a lot of Dodger fans are Laker fans. A lot of Laker fans are Dodger fans. But I know for me, if I had a radio show at that time, and let's just say hypothetically, the Lakers weren't on TV, I would probably I'd probably start off every single show talking about how you got to get Lakers basketball on TV, that you have to somehow find a way to get Lakers basketball on TV. And I think a lot of Laker fans would have been the same way. I think both franchises, as powerful as they are right here in Southern California, the history that both franchises have, I do feel it wouldn't fly with the Lakers. Like, it couldn't happen with the Lakers. I want to get your guys' thoughts. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Do you think if the Lakers, even for 1 year, were it broadcast through every TV in Southern California, it would be okay? Which I think begs the, you know, the question of why was it okay for so long in the Dodgers' perspective? And I know there's probably a lot of fans out there say, well, what do you want us to do? You know, you can only complain so much. You can only send out emails so much. The good news is, for Dodger fans out there, you got your Dodgers now. And you got your Dodgers when the season does potentially come back. Phone number 877-710-ESPN. I want to take some calls when we come back. And then I also want to play out, look at the last 6 years, what's happened with the Dodgers, what's happened with the Lakers. This is just, this big of a market, something like this can never happen again. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. All right, just a quick reminder here. Pretty cool thing that we're doing at 710 ESPN. We want to spotlight and give a shout out to high school and college seniors for their achievements in academics and athletics. You can nominate a classmate, friend, or yourself. Here's how you do it. Email us over here at the station at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com and provide your first and last name, city, school, and sport, or post a short video of yourself or a classmate on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag 710Senior Shoutout. Each one of our shows, including the Sliwa Show, will highlight one of these seniors every day next week. Be sure to listen and hear your senior on 710 ESPN. I'm actually really looking forward to doing that. All these kids that were getting an opportunity to play and then their season just stopped. So we'll get to interact with them a little bit. Topic that we got going on right now, good news, great news for LA, great news for the Dodgers or Dodger fans. The blackout is over. So when the season does come back, you'll get to watch every Dodger game. The question I propose, and I think it's a fair question, what can you imagine if this happened with the Los Angeles Lakers? Can you just kind of think in your mind, Dodgers, 7 years they were in a stalemate. 7 years. Can you imagine if that happened for half a season with the Los Angeles Lakers? Am I right or wrong on this? I don't think it would fly. I think LA would flip out. They'd go crazy. I mean, you look at just the last 6 years for the Los Angeles Lakers. I'll use 6 years as an example. You could use seven. How about Kobe's farewell tour? Kobe playing his 20th season with the Los Angeles Lakers. You're going to tell me that fans would have missed out on something like that? And there's no equivalent to that, but maybe it's Vin Scully's final years. You know how important Vin Scully is to the Dodgers fan base. All the young players that we drafted and watched develop. You could say that about guys like Cody Bellinger. You didn't get opportunities to watch Bellinger over the last couple of years. And then keep going. LeBron James signing, Anthony Davis trade. Impossible Laker fans would allow that to happen. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. Let's start line one, JD and Irvine. Appreciate you calling into the show.
Hey, Alan, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
You know, as Chuck would say, it's a travesty. You know, for seven years, I mean, you mentioned Vince Scully. Laker fans, imagine if we didn't get to listen to Chick for his last.
I can't.
You know what I mean? I would be pissed. Mm-hmm. And I was telling, the guy who screened the call, I was telling him, I would be pissed, and I'd probably send a letter just like a lot of people send a letter to corporate, say, what are you guys doing? What are you guys thinking? You know, but I would be forced to adapt and adjust, and I'd find a way, you know, to get that thing on the big screen and watch my Laker games, you know, with all the other options that we have on the internet nowadays. But I think the fact that the Lakers,
you think it would fly? Like, you think in LA, like, I know what you're saying, that you'd have to adjust. Of course, there's only so much you can do,
right?
But don't you feel like there would be so much pressure just fans of the team that it wouldn't fly, you know, if you think? And I know there's loyal Dodger fans like that, very similar to the Lakers, but I feel, maybe I'm wrong, I feel like there's something a little bit different with the Los Angeles Lakers where I just don't feel like it would fly.
I totally agree. And, you know, my lady, she's a diehard Dodger fan. But she almost was resigned to the fact that we can't do anything. I said, you know, what are all the fans saying on the Twitter feed? And they can't do anything with the Lakers because – and what sucks is that the Dodgers have been winning. The Lakers win or lose, it still would have fly if we lost because we have that tradition. This proves – that the Lakers are LA's team. The fact that we almost didn't have it, and then they made that deal quick and got them on Spectrum. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't there a time that we almost didn't have the Lakers?
I think we didn't have them for like two games. Like literally, it was something like that. Somebody was hitting me on Twitter, and you know what happened after two games. You know, it was like, all right, you better get them on. And that's the difference. I think that's the difference. That's why I think it's a fair conversation. The JD, I'm going to take a few more calls, so I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
Phone number 877, you got it, man. Phone number 877-710-ESPN. I like getting opinions and thoughts from Dodger fans out there or Laker fans out there because, first of all, I just enjoy talking sports with anybody that's on the road or listening on their app. That's number one. But number two, there's probably a Dodger angle to this thing where somebody is diehard both of those franchises, and maybe it is something a little bit different with the Lakers, or maybe it's not, but you only have so much power. Josh in Calabasas, you're on the Sliwa Show. Go ahead, buddy.
Up, Sliwa. Hi, Sliwa. How are you, brother?
I'm good, Josh. Appreciate you calling in, man.
First time I left the house in 3 weeks. My whole family just recovered from the coronavirus, so that was quite the experience. This is
Is that right?
My
Jesus.
First time that my wife and two sons, all of us were down for the count, but we're all doing better, and hopefully we're immune.
Well, listen, man, I hope you guys are as well, and stay safe. I genuinely mean that, all right? Stay safe.
And okay. I'll tell you, man, no sports during that 3 weeks was rough. But, you know, as far as the I'm a massive Dodger and Laker fan. I'm probably one of the few people that... I don't know if you remember, but this happened 7 years ago. It was a big deal. I mean, a lot of people canceled their subscriptions to to Spectrum out of spite mm-hmm. and anger. And I remember I actually for 2 years paid for DirecTV and Spectrum just to watch Dodger games, but that became a little too expensive. But you know, the Dodgers have won 7 or 8, I think it is, division titles in a row, and during that time, the Lakers have really been a struggling franchise, and I really mm-hmm. think that over these last 7 years, the Dodgers have been LA's team. I mean, even more than the Lakers, and I think you just, because it's not recent, I just don't think you remember how much of a big deal that it was 7 years ago. People did flip out. Mm. People wrote letters. Bars were losing business because they couldn't have Dodger games. So, you know, would the Lakers fans tolerate it? I mean, you have to tolerate it. We have no control over what these mega corporations do in their, you know, in their dealings. So, you know, and I still blame the Dodgers in a lot of ways because they signed that massive contract with Spectrum, sure. and then, you know, mm-hmm. $10 billion, and we had just sold the team from McCourt over to the new mm-hmm. group too, and things were looking so good, and it was just, I mean, you know, so many people have missed so many moments, so many division championships over the last 7 years. I bet you they lost a lot of fans they won't ever get back, especially young ones.
Well, Josh, I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate you calling in. Like I said earlier, be safe, my man. It's good to hear you guys are doing well, you and the family. But I appreciate you calling into the show, okay? All right, that's Josh Calabasas. Okay, so let me say this on that front. I do remember when this was all going down, and I do remember there was a lot of chatter, a lot of pissed off Dodger fans, which, by the way, I'm sure they're elated right now because now they get to see all their games. I'm sure all of that was going on. But I do feel that can't, like, that wouldn't go this far. Like, it wouldn't go past half a season. I remember that the Yankees were in a similar situation, and they got, I think, city council involved and things like that, and pretty much said, listen, figure it out, because if you're not going to figure it out, and you're just talking to the corporations, if you're not going to figure it out, I'm going to have fans come in, and they could come ask you open-ended questions about why you guys aren't figuring it out. I almost feel like that's what would have happened with the Los Angeles Lakers. Let me squeeze one more call in here. Ralph in L.A., appreciate you calling in. You're on the Sleeper Show. Go ahead, bud.
Yes, hi. I wanted to mention that two things. I guess, first of all, we're living that same thing right now in terms of the Lakers. We had at least at this point with the Dodgers, it's a show that's going to begin. But this one right here mm-hmm. with the Lakers, we're right in the middle after a 6-year slump, and then we get a rug snatched from under us. So it's devastating. It's like cutting your heart out. So we're experiencing that. We're living that right now. On the other side, in terms of the Dodgers at the same time, they had – last year we had the same buildup when we got that guy that came in, Machado or whatever, and we expected mm-hmm. to win it, and it just didn't happen. So, I mean, and this is like second or third time it happened like in a row. So, you know, it's just –
Well, the good thing is this. The good thing is this, and I appreciate you calling in. You're going to get games when they come back. Everybody's going to get a chance to watch him. And here's the reality. Dodgers is – look, that's as good as a franchise that there is in sports right now. And I know there might be some local fans saying, well, where's that World Series? Haven't had a chip since 1988. I get that. I understand that. But trust me, the amount of success that the Dodgers are having, you're going to get your World Series ring. It's going to eventually happen. It will happen simply because you put yourself in a position every single year to have a shot at a chip, at a ring, at a World Series. Eventually, it will happen. And this might be their greatest chance of winning one, which, by the way, this might be the Lakers' greatest chance of getting a chip with, you know, LeBron James. There's just no control that anybody has right now. Jess, I want to get your thoughts on this real quick because you are Dodgers and you are Lakers and you are L.A. homegrown. Do you agree that on the Laker front of this, if this happened to the Lakers, it would it just wouldn't fly, or do you disagree?
I mean, I feel I'm kind of along the lines of what the caller said, that we lived through it, because I remember I was one of the people who wrote vigorous letters and whatnot, because at that point I had AT&T and I was really upset that I wasn't able to watch the Dodgers, so much that after some point, I eventually switched to Spectrum, and I started watching the Dodgers, which was cool. But then I cut it all. I went, I don't even have any cable provider. I'm a totally over the top service, which I can go into more detail because I have a very, very thing about Spectrum.
Well, and that's but I don't, what will eventually happen too, Jess, is a lot of these streaming services. Like I got people hitting me on Twitter and saying, well, they're not on Hulu. You know, that's going to come down the road. You know, the YouTube TVs and all that stuff, like that will come. There's just no agreements with any of those networks at this point. Maybe it's in 2 years, maybe it's in 5 years. I don't know when it will come. But you think if the Lakers were in a similar position, you don't think there would be more of an uproar?
I think there would be a same amount of uproar. I think they would probably see, this is where it gets kind of dicey, just because
tricky
around. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was around 2011 when the deal for the Lakers went down. That was Kobe's kind of last year. That was the year, I'm pretty sure that was the year that Dwight was a Laker the first time around and they traded for Steve Nash. So there was a lot of hype, but then after that, there wasn't anything really that happened with the Lakers.
We went downhill. Went downhill after that. Yep.
Yeah, and the whole time the Lakers are going downhill, the Dodgers are going uphill. And a good portion of audience didn't really see that. So there's, I truly do believe that we would have reacted really harshly in the beginning, but because it didn't seem like either company was trying to backing down, they would have kept going until someone backed down. And we, as fans, we would have had to take it. I mean, we all made adjustments. Even for the Dodgers, I remember there were certain bars, you know, the caller mentioned who lost businesses. There was only certain bars that actually were allowed to show
the carry the game.
Yeah, that can carry the game.
I'll tell you this. It definitely impacted a lot. And I'll tell you this, Jess. If I was around, if there was a time where this was happening with the Los Angeles Lakers and I had a microphone, I would probably be the most obnoxious host you could possibly meet because, I mean, you know, just think about just a diehard Laker fan. All of a sudden, you can't watch them on games. I can't fathom that happening with Dodger fans. And we already talked about the run that they had. I know they didn't win a World Series, but that's a quality franchise and a quality team. And then, of course, you know, those years with Vin Scully, if you try and make that comparison to try missing some of the final years of Chick Hearn, that's a tough pill to swallow. That's a really tough pill to swallow.
I mean, we missed Kershaw's prime. We missed mm-hmm. the rise of Cody Bellinger. You know, there's so much young talent out there that probably a good portion of just those everyday casual fans don't know because we've completely missed the past 6 years. I remember the Dodgers were the number one thing. Whenever I had, you know, I like to have the TV on in the background just for noise or whatever, whenever I was doing homework or other stuff, I would put the Dodger channel on. It would be I'd come home or whatever, turn on the TV straight to Sportsnet LA and leave it in the background because I know at some point there's going to be a Dodger game and I can work and then turn around, see what's going on in the game, and then go back to work. It was the perfect thing for that, and I absolutely love that.
Well, baseball is kind of that perfect sport. I appreciate your take on that, Jess. I was curious to get your opinion on it, but baseball is like the perfect sport to have on in the background. All right, we come back. I want to switch gears a little bit. SoFi Stadium has got 3,000 workers right now that are on the job. Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for ESPN, sent out a couple tweets. I want to get into that coming up next. Also, you got Coach Anthony Lynn of the Los Angeles Chargers talked a little bit about Cam Newton. Maybe there's something there. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Read off a couple quick tweets here, and then I want to talk about SoFi Stadium. So at Steve_the_dream says, no way the Lakers would have been unavailable to LA fans as long as the Dodgers games were. Way more Laker fans in Southern California. That's his take on that. I will say, from a Laker fan perspective, I don't know if that's the case in Southern California. I'll say, you know, worldwide, just the brand for the Lakers is ridiculous. And that's nothing against the Dodgers. It's just that's what the Lakers have built. Mamba Forever says SoCal LA Laker Town never ever happened. So that's some thoughts from some of the folks on Twitter. And listen, I also know that some of the listeners that I have, or if I go up on Twitter, there's some things that are skewed because they're primarily following me because of the Los Angeles Lakers. So now that I'm getting the ability to do the Sliwa show and we're talking about all different topics, but I know it's going to be skewed a little bit. That's why I enjoy taking some of these calls, because somebody's going to have a different take than I am, or they're going to see it a little bit differently. But LA, I know this, incredible passion towards Los Angeles Lakers basketball, incredible passion and loyalty towards Los Angeles Dodgers baseball, and then kind of a little bit niche from there. You know, if you went to USC, you're a huge USC alum, huge fan base there. If you're a Bruin, huge fan base there. You know, that kind of niche goes from everything after that, but the Lakers and the Dodgers, those are obviously the two brands here in LA. Okay, so I want to give the latest on SoFi, because I think something is, you know, something interesting is developing with SoFi Stadium. Their first event, their first big concert, is supposed to be in July. And do I think that's going to happen? It's supposed to be with Taylor Swift. We'll see what happens, right? Like, you have no idea, but you're just assuming, the way we talk about sports and basketball and everything else, that it's going to take time for these big-time arenas to pack in 50,000, 30,000, 80,000, 90,000. It's going to take time for these fans to come back, and that there's they have the ability, that the CDC and that the state of California and the government allow big crowds again. So SoFi is in a, I think, interesting position. They have an estimated 3,000 workers right now on the job working in and around SoFi Stadium. It's considered critical infrastructure, so that's why they're able to go past that 10-person mandate. Everybody's social distancing right now. You can't have any crowds bigger than 10 people. This is considered critical infrastructure, as I put air quotes up as I say it. That's what SoFi, that's the position that they're in. Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for ESPN, put out a tweet a little bit earlier today. She said, a growing number of subcontractors concerned about employees' work on site, instructed to wear N95 masks if 6 feet, within 6 feet of a coworker. That's in essence what she said, that there's some concern going there. And I get it. I mean, if you're a subcontractor right now, how about you're just a worker? How about you're just a worker at SoFi Stadium? And you come home at night, you flip on the TV, or you're listening on the radio, and you see what's going on, everything with the news. Of course you should, you know, you would have some fear, you'd have some concern going to work. I mean, I'm as isolated as they get now, and that's a mandate by the company saying, no, we want one person to come to the studio doing the board, and that's Curtis right now. Jesse, who's producing the show, he's at home. You guys heard Mason in Ireland and Lindsay in Funches. Everyone is in different, you know, completely different places. So to think that at a time like this, you have that many workers in one spot, one location, I'm sure that there's going to be growing concern with not just SoFi Stadium, but with any of these stadiums out there or any job that has such a large amount of people. I mentioned this early on. You know, I feel, and I try to give shout outs to grocery store workers right now that are trying to do everything they can to make sure we're stocked up, that we have enough food. And you go to a grocery store right now, I drove around. I haven't, you know, went and waited in line or anything, but there's a Trader Joe's not far from where I live. If I told you how far that line wraps around the building to just get into Trader Joe's, it's insane. But everybody's kind of watching this. Everybody's seeing it. So we're all trying to kind of stay out of these public areas. So LA Times had a piece yesterday, Nathan Fenno. In the piece, it said that they know that one worker has tested positive for COVID-19. And they're in a tough position here. I'll tell you the position that they're in. You get paid for when you're on the job. So I'm sure at a time like this, where I've said this a couple times, and you know the numbers are just crazy to me, so that's why I say it, 3.5 million people filed for unemployment. not last week, the numbers came out last week. It was the week prior that they filed for unemployment. We'll get another number this week, I think coming in the next couple of days, of how many people filed last week. So with the circumstances, with the condition of what's going on, it's a tough pill to swallow for anybody out there to say that they're not going to go to work or whatever the case is. But I look at SoFi Stadium, I think it's a fair question to ask. Should SoFi continue to be building right now? Should there be that many workers building at SoFi Stadium to get this arena, to get this Coliseum, to get this stadium ready for, let's say, July? I don't think there's going to be big events right now anyways. I mean, do you see a scenario playing out that in 3 months, in 60 days, 90 days, 120 days, okay, let's say there might be football by the time September rolls around. I don't think it's going to be at SoFi Stadium. Maybe I'm wrong. And I know there's an incredible, incredible business side to this whole thing that I don't have the knowledge on the business side. I don't have the finances on the business side. So I'm never going to see it from that level. Almost $5 billion has gone into this stadium. But I think at the end of the day, you know, what everybody's kind of following these guidelines, what's the safest thing to do, right? Like, what is the safest thing to do? And I look at SoFi Stadium and I look at how many different people are involved in that stadium, and knowing that off Lindsay Theory's tweet that there is some growing concern about how many employees are working on the site, I couldn't agree more. I'd be concerned too. I get worried just going to the grocery store. You know, like little things like that. You're wondering to yourself, okay, can you expose yourself to it? And the answer is, well, if you're not isolated, I guess you can't expose yourself to it. So we'll see what plans out there. But I don't feel like that start of SoFi that everybody's been anticipating, talking about, questioning, all that good stuff. I don't believe that we're going to be sitting here in September or August or July and there's going to be 60,000 people, 70,000 people at that stadium. So why not delay the building process? Why not delay SoFi Stadium, just like we've delayed everything else in sports and everything else in life? You know, we're not just delaying things in sports, but we're delaying everything on the big front as well. Jeff Darlington, I'm gonna stay on the football side of things, hopped on the morning show with Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. They were talking football. They were talking specifically about Cam Newton. Here's Jeff Darlington's thoughts.
I don't know what to make of this. I mean, like, it certainly feels like the Chargers are by far his best shot. And quite honestly, maybe the Chargers' best shot outside of trading into Tua to really have a shot at this, you know, of making something out of a situation that quite honestly feels like it's falling in their lap a little bit. I'm surprised that maybe there seemingly isn't more interest out of their camp, but, you know, this is a time of year when it's not as if other teams are really going after them, so they don't really necessarily need to set the market or try to overpay for them. And the other part that we have to continue to keep in mind is just that it's not really with a guy who has the shoulder and the foot issues to the point where the Panthers owner even questioned whether he'd be healthy for this season, like, if you have an independent doctor doing that physical at any point, like, that's not good enough. So I get the pause from the Chargers. I get why Cam Newton is not currently signed to a team. If, though, we're still in training camp and Tyrod Taylor is the starter for the Chargers and Cam Newton is still on the market, that's when I start to say, what are we doing here? At the very least, the Chargers should be trying to at least see what they got in Cam.
Not sure Tyrod Taylor is going to be the most exciting quarterback for this Los Angeles Chargers franchise. But Coach Anthony Lynn said today that he's in the driver's seat to be the quarterback for the Chargers. But he also did say about Cam Newton, we're looking at everybody. I want to turn every single rock. So yeah, we're looking at everybody. I'll just say this about Cam. I've had Kirk Morrison hop on the show, some other NFL analysts, and all of them say from a football perspective that Cam Newton would be a good fit for the Chargers if healthy. I'll say from a marketing perspective, much more damn exciting to watch Cam Newton than Tyrod Taylor. We'll see what ends up happening. Okay, so I'm going to switch gears again. We're going to get into the business side of football, or I'm sorry, the business side of sports has been fascinating to me. So Neil Payne, he's a sports writer for 538. He's got an article that kind of breaks down what some of the losses would be for some of these sports entities right now, specifically the NBA. We'll talk a little bit March Madness as well. So we'll get his thoughts on that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Neil Payne, sports writer for 538, hopping on the show. Neil, thanks for taking some time, man. You got some great work that you're doing right now on 538, so I appreciate you hopping on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so one of the things that I want to spend some time with you on is we have an incredible amount of sports that's either being pushed, you know, kind of kicking the can down the road, or have been just canceled, and there's no other way to make them up or any of that. I want to start looking at it from more an economic perspective, and you've had some good articles and it's kind of following the economic impact, specifically the impact that it's having on sports. Can you just kind of give us an overlay? I think you had an article when things were just happening where 21% of the regular season would be lost in the NBA if they don't make up any of the games, right? And then we'll see what happens with playoffs. Just can you give us an idea from an economic standpoint, from a business perspective, what kind of impact this is, whether it's the NBA or some of these other sports?
Yeah, like you mentioned, you know, 21% of the regular season was left to play about 259 games on the schedule when play stopped that Wednesday. I think it was an unforgettable Wednesday that really the whole sports world stood still from that point on.
Three weeks ago today.
Yeah. How can you believe that it was just 3 weeks? It seems like it's been years since then.
Mm-hmm, of course.
When we're talking about losing that many games just in the regular season alone, you first thing that you look at is how much money teams will lose from that. So the NBA is about an $8 billion a year business, and most of that comes from the television contracts they have and things like merchandising, sponsorships, but a decent proportion of that comes from gate receipts. It's about $2 billion. Over the course of a whole season that it makes from, you know, fans coming to the game. So a 21% reduction in that, it puts you at basically $350 to $450 million lost before you're even talking about the playoffs. And, of course, the playoffs for teams that go there and make it really deep, they tend to make even more money off of that, almost the same amount off of playoff ticket sales. And then you also add in things like food and parking at the arenas, and those also add up to hundreds of millions of dollars for the league over the course of just 21% of the game. So we could be talking about already just looking at that and canceling the rest of the regular season, which I should say they haven't done yet, but it looks like it's going to be very difficult for them to fit in anywhere near the games that were originally scheduled, if they do any of them. We're talking about a number that approaches $1 billion lost. And then you think about the businesses that are sort of affected at the periphery of basketball, the workers at the arena and some of the people that we've seen, you know, Giannis and Zion and owners like Mark Cuban kind of step up and offer to pay these people's way. But they're hourly workers. You know, they take care of the fans and they cook for them and they work security and they clean after them. And these people now are among the staggering number of people across this country that have filed for unemployment or are furloughed over the past couple weeks. So if you just add up the numbers for the NBA alone, just missing the rest of the regular season, we're talking $1 billion. And then you can extrapolate that out to other sports. In baseball, they make a larger percentage of their revenue from gate receipts than the NBA does. And they're going to miss maybe half the season, you know, depending on when opening day is going to be. So you can do the math on all of these sports, and it starts to add up to some really big numbers really quickly.
Well, it's interesting. And Neil Payne, sports writer for 538, hopping on the Sliwa Show. It's interesting because you know, I try and sometimes think I cover the Lakers, so I'm at every single Lakers game. And when you walk through the steps of from parking to the security guards to getting into the arena and then the ushers, then you walk down to the media room. Now there's a number of different people that are working that side of it. There's all the people that are preparing the food. And then you just go walk the concessions, whether it's, you know, the food side of things, the beer, the peanuts, you know, like all these different things that come into play. It's so easy to forget that all of these people that we're talking about right now do not have income coming in. And on top of that, you know, the teams don't have income coming in. The league doesn't have income coming in. The TV revenue, the rate. I mean, all these things, you know, you don't pay attention to, at least I don't, on a game-to-game basis until you're kind of in a position like this. So I think you breaking it down that way, it gives us a little bit of an idea because I think it puts a little bit more of a reality to it. And by the way, that's the reality going on across the world right now, especially in our country. I mentioned this yesterday. What last week the reports were 3.5 million people filed for unemployment, and we'll see what you know what the numbers come out for this week. I want to get your thoughts real quick on this. So it's being talked between the NBA and the players about a 25% reduction of the NBA salary not the salary, but the actual, you know, what each player is making. And obviously it all varies. This is a conversation that's going on, and I think it's going to continue to go on. Is this something that you expect there's going to be kind of a trickle-down effect? First, it started with the top executives in the NBA, took 20% cuts. Is this just kind of the life of doing business today where there's no business going on?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very uncommon circumstance to see this kind of thing happen. And I think we're going to get to know this legal term called force majeure, which is basically it's written into pretty much every contract and almost never invoked. But it's about these acts of God, these unforeseen catastrophic circumstances by which people can get out of agreements or renegotiate agreements. And I believe the negotiations that are going on between the Players Association and the league right now have their roots in that, in terms of trying to kind of reduce the salaries by 25%. Like you said, this is sort of a negotiation born out of these clauses that enable people to sort of, you know, renegotiate things when something really crazy happens. And it's kind of a testament to how rare it is that we never really talk about these clauses in these contracts, because 99.9% of the time, things just happen like they always do, and things go normally. The other thing for the player salaries, though, is that the salary cap will probably go down, or at least not grow next season, depending on how much short revenue-wise the league falls of what it was projected to have. And the salary cap for the following year is actually based on the basketball-related income that the league makes in this season. So when they're talking about losing $1 billion of basketball-related income before you even talk about the playoffs, that's going to have an effect on not only how much the players make collectively next season, because they're promised a certain percentage of basketball-related income as a aspect of the salary cap, but also how teams plan how their rosters are structured. And this year's free agency class is not the one people have their eyes on. It's the next summer's one. But we're talking about, you know, teams are known to plan many years in advance financially with their eye on people like Giannis, you know, coming up on the free agent market. And this is probably going to throw a wrench in some teams' plans. They're going to have to be able to shed salary or find creative ways. Maybe there will be an amnesty like we've seen in the past when there were large changes from to the salary cap from year to year. But we're talking about another consideration that's sort of one of these trickle-down things that you don't think about in the moment, but will materially affect how the league does business for potentially years down the line.
Well, and I think part of this too, and I think your article that you had out on 538, you also talked about some of that lost Chinese revenue resulting from Daryl Morey's tweet before the season started. So I don't know what type of revenue was lost there too, but it's very interesting to kind of look at the NBA as a whole this season. But I'm sure that also that's going to have an effect on next season and so forth.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, they were already talking about that money being lost and affecting the salary cap. And this is a much larger loss of revenue for the league than the implications of Daryl Morey's tweet. And so, yeah, it's just been, I think, an all-around terrible year for the NBA, obviously for the world. You know, to kind of keep your eye on the big picture, it's, you know, this is bigger than sports, but a lot of people have pointed this out, rightly so, that in the past when we were going through things like this, at least we still had the sports league kind of going on in the background to provide a distraction or, you know, some kind of much needed just escapism. And so it's sort of a double whammy now to have so many people suffering and this deadly virus circulating out, you know, and affecting people's lives. And also, you know, there really isn't a distraction from the anxiety that sports usually provides.
Just real quick, just your opinion on this. What do you think the NCAA lost as far as not having that March Madness tournament? It's more of a curiosity to me. I don't think we ever told numbers or anything like that, but it was it's something they had to do from a timing perspective. And of course, there wasn't going to be these big events that were put on. What kind of revenue do you think they lost?
Well, we know that they have cracked $1 billion a year in recent years, and we also know that the NCAA tournament, specifically the men's tournament, makes probably about 3/4 or maybe even as high as 80% of that. So it wouldn't surprise me if that number also was at or at least approached $1 billion lost. And we've seen that in the way that, you know, there have been reports about the NCAA sort of giving their revenue sharing reports to the various schools, and a huge reduction in the amount of money that they're giving to each school for the following season. And so, you know, that's going to have a trickle down effect on some of the smaller sports, the sports that are termed non-revenue generating sports. And that's before we get into the idea of what if college football has to be postponed or otherwise altered. You know, college football is a money loser for a lot of schools, but for the big schools, the revenue that they pull in from that actually dwarfs the amount of money that they make off of even basketball. And so we could be talking about another aspect of it, especially if, you know, some people are afraid they point back to that 1918 influenza epidemic where even when it subsided early in the year, there was actually a much worse second wave of it in the fall and winter. Now, we don't know if that will happen in this particular case, but it's something that a lot of epidemiologists have their eye on as a possibility. And that could affect, you know, we've seen the NFL sort of act like it's business as usual, at least compared with the other leagues, and have this luxury of kind of sitting back and being like, well, we haven't had to cancel any games. We're having the draft, you know, on the same day. We're opening the league season on the same day. But they are not immune to this. You know, I think we're all looking at what will happen in the fall, and potentially, you know, what other effects this will have, especially if we can't contain the virus.
Neil Payne, sports writer for 538. Neil, can I hold you for one more segment here? I want to get into yet another article about NBA questions that can never be answered. You got some time for that?
Absolutely, yeah. Let's talk about it.
Okay. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.